Okay, so if we look at the lower register.
What page are we on?
It starts on, the lower register starts on, hang on a minute.
Bum, 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 bum. 185 and for all of it. Scene 28?
No, it's the,
bits.
120, it begins at 122, it's scene 30. Okay, so what you have in scene 30 really is the Horus figure, whom Michael has translated as Distant One, with a queue of 16 people, and there's hieroglyphs that label them as humans, Asiatics, Nubians, and Libyans. Humans are Egyptians.
Of course.
That's interesting. You find in both in the Middle Kingdom and in some of these New Kingdom texts an openness to other nationalities, which is relatively uncommon at that time. So you will certainly in some of the Middle Kingdom tombs of the governor of the Middle Kingdom governors in particular, you get Asiatics and Libyans and Nubians being received and being included in the blessing processes. But in this instance, the figures are being used as an example of different forms of inner development. And if we look at what's said here on page 122, so the Distant One says this to the flock of Ray in the Duat, in the Black Land, in the Red Land. Radiance to you, O have the flock of Ray, developing in what is great, the foremost of the skies. Breath to your nose, unraveling to your wrappings. You are tears of my Akhet in your identity as humans. Now, what that means, to be tears of my Akhet, it means you are, the Akhet is the bridging place, is the starting place. It's the place of crossing between the worlds. So in, as human beings, as Egyptians, the idea that you are the tears of the Akhet is that sense of weeping, that sense of strong emotion that accompanies transition, that is about exile and loss and the movement into a new land. And that's the pun that's being made there, because the and even Michael refers to the pun at the bottom where Remetu and Remeut are two similar words, and Remetu is humans, Remuet is tears. And so it has the connotation of going into a distant land, weeping as you go into a distant land, as you transform, as you move in. So the beginning point of a process of transformation is the process of going into a new land and feeling the grief and the exile of that. So that's the beginning of a process of development. It goes on to say, then being great of the water that causes development, you are said to be in your identity as Asiatics. The word there is Ha'amu, and which is the word given for Asiatics, which is the sort of anything east of Egypt at this point, paralleled with the word A'amu, which is great of water. Now, to be, and you're said to be in your identity as Asiatics, they should develop them for them power. And the power image here is the goddess Sekhmet, who represents the idea of magical power. It is as it is she who can save their presences. Now, what being there's a connection here between becoming powerful and becoming great with water. Now, this refers to the capacity to become still and peaceful and to cool the fire of Sekhmet, the fire of will. So in the beginning, the first quality that you have as being a human being, and as you develop yourself, is you have the ability to move into the inner, move away from the known towards the unknown, and to feel that sense of loss and exile and the weeping that comes with that. Then, having done that, having passed through the horizon, your task is then to become great of power, but great of water that causes development. So you have to enter that sense of fluidity, that sense of inner stillness, you have the ability to cool the fire so that you can work with the fire. So he goes on to say, then being of my peace in infinity, which is the peace that arises by cooling the fire, but then so expanding that peace by coming it into infinities, and it's a phrase which means millions. So it means your peace becoming like millions, which comes forth from me. You are in your identity as Nubians. And they should develop for them what is of the distant one. Now the Nubians are in the south, so the quality of Nubia is the quality of the fire of the sun. It's also the land of gold. So Nubia is the place of great riches. So having become still, become great of water, you now multiply. You become larger, you acquire a large, like the Horus Hawk, you see from a larger point of view.
Increasing. Increasing.
You increase, exactly so, yeah, you increase. You see wider, you see deeper, like the hawk, you see both widely and deeper. In the way that the hawk does. Then it goes on, the final step, it goes on to talk, then as it was the seeking of my eye which ended in your development, there is your identity as Libyans. Now the identity of Libyan is to find the eye of Ra. It's to see then, so that it deepens, that deepening quality of seeing as Horus is finally to see everything.
So what was that about identity there?
So your identity then as a Libyan is to have acquired the ability, this is really, I suppose, when we talk about enlightenment, it means the Egyptian phrase attached to that means the search is complete. You have become fully aware. Able to see all, just like the Eye of Ra sees all. You become identified with the Eye of Ra. So in a certain sense, if we're looking at this on the Tree of Life, the identity as humans would start off by the stepping into Malchut. As you step out of the world of chaos, you step into the inner path, you dedicate yourself to that, you come into the foreign land of seeking the spirit. To become great of water would be to become to one who has worked with the inner sea of Yesod, and who has acquired the ability to not be carried away by the currents, by the energies of that, to create the kind of the stillness that stops the internal dialogue. By stopping the internal dialogue, and entering into that peace, you become the possessor of the great riches of sitting in Tiferet and working with the other territories without getting lost in them. And then finally, the movement into the art and into the supernal triad of the Tree of Life is what's indicated by becoming a Libyan, becoming, for then you see with the even deeper than the eye of the heart, you see with the eye, with the divine eye that is the sort of presence of Keter, which is reached through the path, through the mysterious passageway of Da'at. So that's the kind of, so that's a little kind of likely how these are kind of images, if you like, of foreigners used to indicate stages of the soul's development, effectively.
We're doing that next weekend, are we?
We're doing it all the time. We do this all the time. We do this every day. We do this every day. That's the work that we're engaged on all the time. And because actually the whole point about this work is that all these presences are already here. The divine eye is working deeply within you. The eye of the heart is working deeply within you. You have your own relationship with the inner sea and with your sense of the body that is the bridge between the worlds. The body is the aket. The body is the threshold place. The inner sea that needs cooling so that it can become the mirror is found in your own subjectivity. The presence in the heart, the stillness in the heart that speaks to us in the small, quiet voice is always there. And beneath and underneath that voice is the divine voice, is the eye that sees all and that touches all. So these are not things these are veils we have to peel back. But they're working underneath the surface all the time.
The way it's written suggests to me that somehow you arrive and then you are living from a stage of kefir, keter, but in a way it's every moment actually. You have to rock every moment.
No, that's every moment. And it's in the same way, I mean, that's the whole point about the Egyptian way of thinking about things, is that in each moment you touch these things and each day you begin again, right? Yes. So that sense of the two times of Nehe time, which is this repeating time, and then this pillar of Jet time, which is the timeless, which intersects that. So all the time we're working with this, all the time we're aligned with the deeper. And if I can just move you on to the...
There's been a real gift this weekend, which is that thing you're talking about now, is about knowing your allotment.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And you know, all the time, ever since I've been practicing, and this has really come together this weekend, I felt that I'm not a proper practitioner, because I still go into the mountains and surf, and no other practitioners or whatever practitioners do the... And somewhere, on a subtle level, I've actually been negating it in a way that I haven't quite recognised before.
Well, that's really important then, isn't it?
And our conversation, was it last supervision session about Falcon and it was the one before, when I still got a split between what I was doing watching the Peregrines and Horus.
Yes, yes, yeah.
All of this bringing these things together is actually, right now for me, it's really powerful.
No, it's...
All of these things are beginning. The whole of me has a place in this.
No, that's it.
Seeing it as part of me that's going off on a tangent, doing my own thing and just editing.
Now that's really important, I think. That's that all of you has a place in this. That's the whole point, in a way. Anyway, so that's such an important thing to see, I think.
And all the things that have meant so much to me and mean so much to me, I've been somehow not allowing them. Is that a place of not killing rats if you're a Buddhist?
Yeah.
And suddenly that rarefied atmosphere of it is, of all that's done, I'm not a Buddhist now, but that rarefied space of it doesn't fit. It's too idealised.
No, and in a way, that's why your story of the Mind Floyd and the squirrel puts the lie to all of that, right? Because actually the only feelings that were being spared in that story were the feelings of the people, the feelings of the murderers. They were putting that squirrel through something truly horrible. You know, it's...
They still cook in that oven?
I don't know. Yeah, it would put you off, wouldn't it? If you thought the last thing in his heaven was a poor old squirrel whom they gassed while praying.
Yeah, I want to take not... a contraposition on this one, I'm afraid.
God.
It was maybe done with the best of intentions.
It probably was. It maybe was, right? It's just such an awful. I could theoretically get this. One of my limitations. I'm sure they were trying to do the best thing. It's just such a horrible idea that they would do that to an animal. I think that's just me. I just react to the story of Duncan.
I think I'm being contrarian, but you know.
Yeah. No. I'm pretty sure they had good intentions, but there's a part of me that I'm just so appalled that. about the story. Anyway, it's just me. Okay.
Sorry.
Were you going to eat the squirrel? You were.
It was rats I shot. I'm not going to eat them.
No. But the squirrel that got gas, were you going to eat it?
I wasn't there. I was nothing to do with that scenario.
I don't think they were cooking it to eat it. They were killing it. Because it was.
Why were they killing it?
Well, because it was damaging the place. It was destroying the place.
Coming down the chimney and doing a lot of damage. So,
yeah.
So they caught it and killed it. So.
Yeah. Anyway, let's come away from.
It's the stuff of horror movies, that is, isn't it? It's that mind that is really quite disconnected.
I think it is. Anyway, coming away from that because time is short. I just want to finish the last register, because what you find coming on from these images of the soul's development is you get the 12 figures carrying a serpent. This is a different serpent from the middle one. This is the serpent who represents the lifespan. And the in between each of the figures, this is page 124. You have this image of the hieroglyph for lifespan, which has a circle at the bottom and has a masthead coming out of it. And what the text says is possessing a lifespan in the West. This is having done this work, you've created effectively a new identity, and now you have a new lifespan, which is and the serpent figure is created out of two tapes that are woven together, so that this strange serpent that's made out of two tapes represents the working with the opposites to create momentum. This is the image of dynamic equilibrium, of a moving, of that moving sense of balance. This is the image that we have with that card adjustment that we begin with, where you are actively working and moving forward by working with the energy of opposites.
Where are these tapes?
Hmm?
I don't get what it means by tapes.
Well, it means tapes are two threads. It means they're woven together. The rope that is... this is a snake rope.
I see. It's not the little bits that go between them all.
No, the little bits that go between them, that's the hieroglyph for lifespan. Right, and then if you see they're carrying this thread, this kind of snake rope thing.
Not a snake, but tape. Right.
Well, he's translated it as tapes, but it's like a metui. Metui is like a length of cloth woven together somewhere. So the underneath idea of it is taking two things and weaving them together. Now, this is the whole idea of working with opposites to create forward momentum. So the idea of bringing the side pillars of the Tree of Life together to enable a deepening, to enable a movement inwards. So that's what's being described in this process. And where that leads us to, right at the end, in scene 32, page 126, is it leads us to the assembly which is in the Duat. And what it says here is just the assembly which is in the Duat. And interestingly, what the assembly it's in the Duat does is to work with the energies of destruction. It is they who ordain destruction, as of the writings from the lifespans of presences from the outer chambers of the Duat. Your destruction to my adversaries, whom you write down for the place of destruction. I have come in here to scrutinize my remains, to put the evils onto my adversaries. Their extension is bread, their scale pans are hallowed vessels, their cold refreshment is water. Putting forth what is theirs on earth cannot enter into the place of destruction or preparation. Now, what's being looked at there is the capacity to kill rats, as opposed to killing squirrels, in my view. Right, it is the capacity to work, to move forward into the presence of Osiris, to move forward from Yesod to Tiferet. This place of bringing together opposites is also a place of profound destruction. This is why the Tower card is found in the middle of that path that's called art, of that or called temperance. But the breaking, it is inevitably, as you move from one state to another, our sense of identity gets destroyed and we become remade. So our sense of self and sense of the universe falls apart. So that, in the end, so what's that final line is doing is just reiterating the lessons of the two previous registers and making it very clear that this is what you do. And all of this is a preparation. The work of this hour is a preparation, really, for the entering into the fifth gate, which is the encounter with the deeper selves symbolized by the god Osiris, and by presenting yourself as the being who brings together dynamic balance. So a lot of the work of this month, between now and when we next meet, is about working with balance, working with opposites, noticing opposites, noticing also what is true for you and what is not true for you. So what are the things you should work with, and what are the things you just simply say, this is not true for me, this is does not exist for me?
I lost your sound, Ian.
Sorry?
Oh, I thought I'd lost your sound.
No, I didn't say anything. I was just pausing. I was just pausing for a moment, because that's pretty much it, really. That's the end of the that particular register.
That's really good.
So let's just see if there's any questions about that before I do a brief talk on the controversial figure of Mr. Crowley.
Meditations and things and going over them again and again is really useful, in that it internalizes things, so we just start doing this in our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I've made real connections with how this is relevant to me at this time.
Yeah,
this weekend. So
totally.
It's been a, you know, that's great, because a lot of things seem to have fallen into place. Thank you.
Oh, good. I'm glad. And I think it's interesting that, you know, that, because part of the energetic intention of the book at this point is to do exactly that, to bring things together, to bring opposites together, to look at the garden that is yours and to separate yourself from the things that are not yours. You know, so it really is about bringing your life together into a wholeness. And so it's, yeah, that's really the intention of the work this weekend. So yeah, so that's good if that's end.
Mm. Well, it's next time, isn't it? Which is the big time.
No, it's not as big as you. The trouble is, it's not like that at all. It's not like that at all. The thing about the judgment scene is that people are always terrified of the judgment scene. It's actually a very gentle process, and it's not at all what you think.
Not if you watch Dennis Wheatley films, it's not.
If you watch Dennis Wheatley films, no. He has a different take on it.
Yes.
Dennis Wheatley.
Oh God.
I'm giving a talk on Dennis Wheatley to the young society in Bristol next May. Mm. I'm doing Dennis
Wheatley. Tape it for us.
Yeah, well, no, I always do. I'm doing Dennis Wheatley, The Devil Rides Out, and the 87th Psalm. A Jungian perspective.
Which one is that psalm?
It's one of the Zion psalms. It begins, my foundation is in the holy mountain. And in the Devil Rides Out, he uses it as his white magician, the Duke de Richelieu, uses it as an exorcism phrase. Fundamenta eos in montibus sanctus. So he challenges the devils to go away. So I shall be looking at demonization and integration in that process. So that'll be fun. Anyway, okay.